Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. What's been good for the music hasn't always been so good for the life. That line comes from the beginning of the song Phone to Pool off Ben Folds' last album, So There. It also appears repeatedly in a new memoir by the piano virtuoso called A Dream About Lightning Bugs, A Life of Music and Cheap Lessons. Ben Folds has written a detailed account of his unusual life and that of his family. For example, his grandma was a teenage bride who married a not very nice man 20 years her senior. Ben grew up in North Carolina. He was bright, didn't always fit in. He could be a little bit obsessive. As a tiny boy, he'd spend like eight hours in front of record players. The book traces his life through a difficult adolescence, dropping out of music school twice. As he puts it in his book on page 65, at school, I was a part-time overachiever and part-time loser. I took all the advanced placement college credit classes. By 12th grade, I was flunking most classes, but for not showing up. I was a hard worker, a class clown, an accelerated student, the token poor kid, the token rich kid, a jackass of all trades. He went on to sudden success with his 90s piano rock band, Ben Folds 5. The memoir is written with a bluntness that falls somewhere between comforting and cathartic, the kind of clever but sincere writing Ben Folds has staked out his entire music career. Ben, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You start the book about your family, telling interesting stories, quirky stories. What is it you wanted the reader to know about your family at that time?
Well, what I wanted the reader, by the end of the book, was hopefully to think about creativity and to think about how one person did it. Because there's so many different lives and ways of being creative, and people are naturally creative. And I found in order to talk about creativity, it was best for me to just be very specific about how it happened for me. That really necessitated my going back and sort of having an ethnographic backdrop to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what, you know, a child is born into an already sort of a storm, you know, like the momentum is going. So I went back further than most people do, back to my grandparents. And I don't even think I get to kind of, you know, famous music stuff until 3/4 of the way through the book. It wasn't really ever my point. My point also wasn't really to kind of dwell on my childhood, but I started to realize these are the things that are why I can't help creating what I do. And so hopefully I told that story.
As you look back on it now that you're up in a parent and an adult, what was going on with little Ben? and what would you, what if you had a kid like Ben?
I think it would be difficult to have a kid like me, but I also think that I was the product of a lot more chaotic time and younger parents than I was when I was became a parent. I mean, in my era of being a parent, in my income tax bracket, you have everything set up very organized for a kid to step into. I show a nice picture of me in a cardboard box in there, which I think is really funny. My mother doesn't think it's as funny as I do. But I think it's awesome because that's all you really need. You know, but my parents were like 19, 20 years old, something like that, when they had me. And they didn't really have a plan, which is part of why I am like I am. I'm very undisciplined, but I'm a hard worker. My parents were hard workers and there was no schedule.
No schedule, right?
There was no schedule. There was no organization to our life that I remember. My mother even let me go late to school if there was a song on the radio I liked. I might skip some school.
Do you think that that sort of, you had a seed of creativity and all of that space let it grow?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it is the space. I think some of it is that actually maybe for a kid it can be a little scary not to have boundaries. You know, when you want to escape or check out of something that you don't understand, even if it's, doesn't matter what it is, creativity is a space you often go into. I describe in the book, you know, hours upon hours of waiting for my father to be finished with this construction gig. You know, I get dropped off after school and walk around a muddy lot. Well, you know, now a kid might spend time on his iPhone or something like that. I just had my brain. So I walked around imagining songs. If I hadn't had years of hours a day imagining songs, walking around muddy lots, I wouldn't have the ability to, for instance, make up a song on the spot with a symphony orchestra and dictate them parts. That's a skill that was cultivated. People are like, wow, that's amazing. It was not amazing. It's what I practiced while other kids were practicing jumping, you know, obstacles with their bikes and stuff, you know.
My guest is Ben Folds. The name of his book is A Dream About Lightning Bugs. So I think most people, there's a piano on the cover. You're a percussionist.
That's right.
First.
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you stay with percussion?
Well, I really did. I mean, it's the one thing I really stuck with. There was a moment in...
Why isn't there a drum on the cover?
I know. Well, you know, there would be. I love drums, but I, as a songwriter, you know, the piano was much more more useful for writing songs. The turning point in there was sort of comes in a chapter in the book called An Accidental Mentor, and really, I was a percussion major. And a piano teacher who was about to retire after, you know, being there for 30 or 40 years, discovered I played piano in a certain way. I was joking around in his class trying to fool him with something, and he called me after school. I thought I was in trouble. He said, would you like a scholarship? Mm-hmm. So I switched to piano. So as a pivotal moment, that could be a thing. I don't really completely think it was that dramatic, but it was sort of like that.
That was Mr. Darnell?
Yep, Robert Darnell.
In your book, you're really honest about being some, I'm going to say a troublemaker. I'm not going to say it's a troublemaker, but you just, well, you made trouble.
Yeah.
Versus a troublemaker. There's a difference between the two.
Oh, interesting.
You
know
what I mean? There's a difference between being a troublemaker and someone who makes trouble. Mm. What was behind you just wanting to do things your own way? Sometimes, you know, we're in society, you grew up in the South, you're in school, people are telling you, you need to do this X, Y, and Z, and you very clearly were saying, no, I'm going to do A, B, and C versus X, Y, and Z.
Some of it might have been because I saw that those formalities and rules weren't really being followed at my house, and no one, nobody was harmed in that experiment. So I would take that to school. And also, you know, like this could be seen as a criticism of my parents. It's probably a combination of praise and criticism. My teachers knew that they weren't going to get any traction complaining to them about my behavior. I actually had some really funny disciplinary slips because we had stacks of them because I was sent home and stuff all the time. We left one of them, but there were a bunch of them that would really dwell on, I've talked to his parents, his parents say that it's not their problem and stuff like that, you know.
You actually include one of them in.
I left one of them in. We had a bunch of them and they were taking up too much space. I mean, it was like, it could have been a centerfold of my disciplinary slips. And I mean, I think that what you're saying between a troublemaker and someone who makes trouble, I feel like a troublemaker in school was the kind of kid who meant bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were bad will, you know, like they break things. I never wanted to hurt anybody or break things. I just wanted to see something exciting happen, some mischief and a lot of stuff. I mean, if I'd wanted to make the whole book about that, I've got way too many stories. It would just probably bore people to tears. I left most of them out.
Was the editing process tough?
I found the editing process tough, yeah, because as a songwriter, the first illusion in writing a book is that you have space. You don't. I had to be very economical in writing this book, but I thought at first, like, oh, yeah.
Book.
Yeah.
It's a whole book. Okay, so here's one of these slips. It says, Ben is making strange, very strange sounds with his mouth. This has been going on for some time, and yesterday, after a long lecture, Ben has continued again today. Ben understands that he is not to make unnecessary noises during class.
Yeah, and that's a pretty tame one. It doesn't say anything about me crawling out the window or... You know, some of the other stuff, yeah.
My guest is Ben Folds. The name of his new memoir is A Dream About Lightning Bugs, A Life of Music and Cheap Lessons. Let's talk music.
Yes.
So a lot of people, you have a great sense of humor. People know that. It's in your music as well. Let's take a listen to a song called Boxing. It's that clash between the lyrics and the sound that you like to play with. Let's listen to Boxing.
Howard. I'm not cut out for this. I say boxing's been good to me.
You were somebody who you really loved comedy as a kid.
Mm, yeah.
Who are some of your favorites and why?
I have this one thing I enjoy. I took out some of the comedy stuff in that is references to comedy in the book because I didn't want to overstate it. But mm-hmm. I did leave in a chapter about comedy albums from the 70s, which were kind of rock and roll to me. Because the way I felt about it was that, you know, like looking back at it, the 60s was rebellion and rock and roll. But by the 70s, it was big business. It was big stadium business. But the comedians were still in small spaces doing the real punk rock work, yeah. You know, and that was so appealing to me as a kid. And I would hear these things, you know, like crazy stuff like Richard Pryor and George Carlin, and Andy Kaufman was a favorite of mine. I would take this stuff to school, you know, quoting it.
Oops.
Of course, you get in trouble. You're not, it's not advisable to quote almost anything Richard Pryor said on stage in school. And it moved me because the audience kind of, it was odd. The audience kind of gave me chills. The audience on comedy records is kind of, it's a cathartic thing. Like they've just gone through Vietnam and Watergate and post-civil rights. They've gone through this era. And in the 70s, there's this kind of almost anger, almost release, a knowing laughter. And I just think it's really moving. And I think that when you're talking about comedy, if you don't recognize how serious the other side of comedy is, mm-hmm. and what it implies to make a joke, even to distract from something that you would rather not think about, comedy is serious business. If you, most comedians that you meet, relatively serious people, you know, they don't sit around like, take my wife all the time. You know, it's not them.
My guest is Ben Folds. We talked about sort of your humor. Your hit song with Ben Folds 5 is about a very serious subject. Mm. It's about your girlfriend at a time having an abortion. You guys were kids.
Yep.
People know the song Brick. Let's play a little bit of it.
As weeks went by, it showed that she was not.
It's a really honest song, but in your book you write about there was a whole lot of other stuff going on that you didn't include the song, about how hard it was. Can you share that with us?
Well, yeah, I think what's missing from the song is probably, because you can't include everything in a song, mm-hmm. but we were, you know, a couple of kids in that predicament trying to figure out what to do, pregnant at 17 years old at the same high school and trying to keep it a secret. You know, that was a club of two. We really went through that together. Mm-hmm. And I think there's often this sort of feeling, especially in retrospect in the era of sort of social media, that the man, the male involved, the boy involved in this has no right to the story. But we were just helping each other out. I was doing her homework. She was covering for me. We were just trying to figure this stuff out. And it's very serious business. And both of us realized we were just children 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm. you know. And as soon as it came crashing down, that bridge where it says, I was tired of lying, we were found out, you know, eventually, you know, after the abortion. And, you know, suddenly, because we thought that we'd be in big trouble and everyone would hate us and we get sent somewhere on the North Pole or something. I don't know what we thought. We had to keep it a secret. But as soon as the adults found out, we became kids again. It was the first time we'd relaxed in forever. And she had been so unhappy. And I think that it was a real relief. And it reminded me, I think, of my age, because I began to think, you know, I'm making huge adult decisions about things. Well, I mean, if I could do it all over again, we would be straight to our parents immediately about mm-hmm. what happened, because they didn't want to hurt us, you know. Right, right. But it's a serious thing, and it happens to happens to kids all the time, you know, and it's such a hot topic that we often forget that the kids that are going through this and dealing with this, you know, don't really need to be in the middle of a shouting match. You know, even the shouting match of going to the clinic and passing lines of kind of picket line people and screaming and pictures of dead fetuses and stuff, it wasn't good for my girlfriend to go through that. That was really a very cruel way to have to survive this. And had we told our parents, maybe we would have made another decision. Don't know. But that would have been a safer space. So I think it's something to, I think the song is still somehow, I never talked about it when it was out. I didn't want it to be about.
No, I remember, yeah.
I didn't want it to be about anything. I wanted it to be about a feeling about something. And the song was about the helpless feeling of being as alone as we were. And also when you go through, you know, there are movies about married couples who are together for years and years and they have a teenage kid and the kid, say, is killed in a car wreck or something. And then the marriage doesn't survive. There's something about that sort of situation which ends up separating you from your partner as well. So at the end of the song, what I was going for was, she's alone, I'm alone, now I know it. That was my story about the two of us, and it wasn't about my stance on a political hot topic, and I think it should be treated as a human topic and not a political one.
My guest is Ben Folds. The name of his memoir is A Dream About Lightning Bugs. You're very candid in your book about when you start this band with two guys you don't really know, and you sort of, you call it being sort of mercenary. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are starting, you know, you've been in New York, you go back to North Carolina, you start a band, the band becomes successful. During the course of your success, that you guys are kind of, you can be a pain in the butt to people. Mm-hmm. You're like, kind of, I,
yeah.
100% honesty, I told a friend, because I used to work on MTV, I told a friend, oh, I'm interviewing Ben Folds. And he said, good luck with that. I had to interview them once, those guys. And I was like, well, we're all adults now. I think he's going to be okay. But he had a tough experience with you.
I'm all better.
But you own up to it.
That wasn't Kurt, was it?
No.
We'll tell him I'm sorry too.
Okay, I shall. But you own up to it.
Yeah.
What was going on with you at that time? You should have been psyched. You should have been happy. You should have been just like, we have a hit record. We're getting courted by record labels. We're going on tours.
Oh,
were
man.
You unhappy?
I suppose it's complicated. I mean, one, we retired. Mm-hmm. I know that seems small, and I mentioned it in the book, in that it really doesn't have to be such a dramatic, like I had an inner angst or I was upset or anything. It really can be that if you sleep for 3 hours a night tops for a few years on end, and you're jet lagged because every day is in another country, you might just start going crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, I think, a lot of it. And the other thing is now what I realize as an adult in hindsight, one of the things I tried to do in my book was really look at this like, I'm 52 years old. I'm writing about my parents who were 20 years old at the time. Have some empathy for them. Take care of them like they're the children that they are. So I should do the same for myself. I look back at me and my girlfriend as teenagers, and I'm like, I have a 52-year-old's empathy for those kids. And I should have the same for myself.
The name of the memoir is A Dream About Lightning Bugs, A Life of Music and Cheap Lessons. Ben Folds, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Six a.m.